If you got your Bibles, take them and turn them to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And it is our joy and our privilege to be with you this morning. I got the privilege of meeting your pastor down at the tent meeting we had in Kingston right down the road. And I talked to many people this morning that said you got to come and enjoyed it. And I so appreciate, I know some of y'all said you came every night. And I appreciate that. And, Preacher, I appreciate you come supporting the meeting. And we thank the Lord for what all he did. Had a man get converted, give his life to Christ. And I've watched him, and I got to talk to him since then and just watch what the Lord's done in his life. And it's encouraging that God's still saving people. He's still transforming lives and doing it in the day and hour in which we live. Our country's in a mess. A lot of our families, churches are in a mess, but I'm glad the Lord is still in the saving business this morning. But again, it's our privilege and our joy to be here. I'll be honest, me and Miss Lindsay made it by the skin of our teeth this morning. She's pregnant with our first baby boy, we found out Friday, and she has been sick as a dog. We've been running all over the road. We're in evangelism full time. And Preacher, I don't know if she's sick of the baby or just sick of me. I ain't figured it out yet. But we had a little bit of a scare last night and had to run up to the doctor, but praise the Lord, everything was all right. And it's just been downhill from there. We was on the way over here this morning. We was just riding, talking, rejoicing about everything. And I looked over at Lindsay. I said, I believe I left my suit jacket at the house. And I have one in the back of the car, thankfully. So if you look at me this morning and you don't think I match, I promise it ain't my wife's fault. It's mine. I would forget my head if it wasn't screwed on. I talked to a preacher. I was up in Indiana a couple weeks ago, and man, I my life is just falling apart. I left a bunch of stuff up there. I've lost a bunch of other stuff between here and there, so I'm just glad to be able to make it here this morning. It's on time. I got my Bible. If I ain't got anything else, well, the preacher I grew up under, he said, son, make sure you got your Bible and a pair of shoes. I got both of them, so we good to go this morning. But again, it's our honor and our joy to be here. I appreciate you, Preacher, letting us come. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than right here in the house of God on a Sunday morning. And I appreciate all the Lord's done this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, I want to start reading in verse number 5, give you my heart and I'll be out of the way. And I'll make a deal with you. If you listen fast, I promise I'll preach fast this morning. But if you ain't listening fast, I can't tell you when we're going to get out of here. But 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 5 with me. And the Bible says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. My Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, in the name of Christ, my God, the name that's above every name, Lord. We've heard that name sung about this morning, God. We've heard that name talked about, and God, what a difference that name has made in our life. Lord God, I pray for the next few moments, God, you'd help us. Lord, you know I have no ability, God. I have no talent. God, if I had to get real with you this morning, Lord, I'm just in over my head. Lord, I pray you'd give us a touch from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would touch me to preach and proclaim your word. God, I pray that you would touch your people to hear. And God, we know, Lord, the battle it can be in the mind at times. The devil wants to distract us, God, and get our mind off of everything else, Lord. But I believe you have a word to say this morning. So, God, may our hearts and our minds get locked into heaven just for a little while, Lord. I pray if there be one among us, God, that's a stranger to the grace of God, Lord, I pray that you would deal with them. God, I pray that you would save them. God, as our dear sister just talked a minute ago, God, I pray, Lord, that you would do it, Lord. God, do it for your glory this morning. I love you, I praise you, and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And we get to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you've been in church any length of time, if you've been to Sunday school, you have probably heard the story of Miss Hannah. We know what Miss Hannah's problem was. The Bible says it very plainly, very clear, that the Lord had shut up her womb. Everything Miss Hannah tried to do, everything in her life, she could not have a baby because God shut her womb up. But there's something I need you to understand about this. In America, for a woman that can't have a baby, it's a very sad thing. Our heart hurts for those ladies. We weep and we cry and our heart goes out to them. But what you got to understand in Israel and where we are in the Bible this morning and even today, a woman that cannot bear a child, she's looked down on the... believe there's got to be some type of unforgivable sin in their life that God has hindered them from having a baby. And something you got to understand about these Jewish ladies is they all wanted to have a child. They mainly wanted to have a son for two reasons. Number one, the first reason is they needed somebody to help in the industry they were in, somebody that could help around the house, somebody that could help the father out in the fields. They all wanted that man child. There was no child labor laws in the Bible where we're at this morning. That wasn't a thing. But the second reason is because Moses made the people a promise because he had heard from God and said there would become a male Messiah forth that would save their people from their sins. It was in the heart of every single one of those Jewish women. They wanted to have that Messiah. They wanted to have that promised seed. They wanted to have that reflection on their family. So you got to understand where Miss Hannah's at. She couldn't have a baby. There was no hope. There was no help. There was nothing she could do. She was at the place where she was desperate. If I had to get real about it this morning, she needed a miracle in the middle of a mess. And I wonder how many people you've walked into church this morning. We're so good at Baptist of we know how to put the facade on. We know how to walk the walk. We know how to talk the talk. We know how to get up in the choir and act like nothing's wrong. But on the deep inside of your heart, you know it this morning. The Lord knows it. You got some problems going on in your life. You got some things you need God to take care of. It might be something in your marriage this morning. It might be something with one of your children this morning. It could be a mick. It could just be a mental attack by the devil. It could be the list could go on and on and on. But you say, preacher, I got up this morning. I got ready. I need something from God because I'm in a mess this morning. I need God to do a miracle. I need God to work something out. I need God to fix my problem today. You say, preacher, what do I do if I'm in that mess? You got to understand about Miss Hannah, there was no doctor that could help her. Her husband could not help her. I believe she every resource she had. Some commentators say it was 19 years before she ever had a baby. And she'd done everything that she could do. You ever come to church feeling like that sometime? You've exhausted every single resource. You've done possibly everything that you can do, and your situation ain't getting no better this morning. If you had to be honest, it's getting a lot worse. It's getting a lot harder. You've looked to your left and ain't found no help. You've looked to your right and you ain't found no help. And you know what makes this story harder than anything? We just read it. The Bible said her adversary provoked her sore. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, Miss Hannah couldn't have a baby. She couldn't bring forth that promised seed. So Elkanah goes out and he gets another wife. And she's able to have those babies. And this is what commentators say. They said Peninnah is her name. And she would literally cause Hannah torment. I wonder if she didn't say things like this. Hannah, your husband loves me more than he loves you. Because I can give him babies. Hannah, I'm a whole lot more valuable than what you are. He's going to end up leaving. He doesn't love you like he loves me. And every day, Hannah woke up and she had to deal with Peninnah's mouth. And sometimes we wake up in this walk for God. We got problems. We got difficulties in our life. Do you know and you realize this morning we have an adversary as well? We have an adversary that provokes us sore. We have an adversary that gives us a hard time. His name is the devil. You know what he likes to say? That problem you're in this morning, it ain't going to get no better. You're in a hopeless situation. You're in a hopeless cause. It's been like this forever. God ain't going to get you out of this thing. And every day, I don't know how he talks to you, but I know how he talks to me. He likes to put that hopelessness in your heart. He likes you to think that God ain't hearing your prayer. He likes for you to think that God doesn't care about where you're at. And you get to the place where you're totally desperate and you don't know what to do. And you say, preacher, I'm in a mess and I need a miracle. You say, how do I get there this morning? I give you three quick things, load them up, blow them out. You do with them what you may. Number one, I want you to notice with me, she asked God in her sorrow. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look at verse number 13 with me. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know what I've learned in traveling, preacher? That I told you a minute ago, we real good at Baptists. We good, man. You know why a bunch of Baptists deer hunt? Because we good at camouflage. We know how to camouflage something. And we come into church with that same spiritual camouflage. Man, we got our nice church clothes on. We know how to walk the walk, talk the talk, all that good stuff. We got our Bible, toting it up under our arms. We look at our brothers, we look at our sisters and say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. We got all this stuff going on in our life, but we don't let nobody see it. And we walk in with all that weight and we sit down and here's what'll happen. Your heart's burdened, your mind's burdened, your emotions are overwhelmed, and you come and you sit down and they get up and sing wonderful choir songs like they just sang, and they sing special music like they sang a minute ago. It's one of my favorite songs, He Knows My Name, and the Lord will begin to work on her heart. Brother Revis will get up and he'll preach and he'll talk about how you need to bring your burdens to the Lord and God can fix your problems and God can literally do anything. All you got to do is ask Him, and the invitation time comes. And here's what we do. We go down to the altar. We get there and we say, now, Lord, you know I got this problem in my life. And God, if you're able, and we treat God like He can't do nothing. God, if you're able, I need you to fix this. God, if you get time in your schedule this week, Lord, could you work my little problem out? God, I need you to fix it. And here's what we do. We give God that half-hearted little prayer. We pick our problem up. And we take it right back to our pew. And we live week by week and we say, I don't know why in the world I can't get any victory. I don't know why in the world my problem ain't getting no better. I don't know why in the world I can't get past where I'm at. You know one thing I've learned in my life? You can tell God anything because He knows everything. Me and Lindsay were in North Carolina a while back. I was up there preaching. And it was a Sunday. I got a routine on Sunday afternoons. I'm going to go. I'm going to find me something good to eat. I'm going to take me one of them Sunday afternoon naps. Then I'm going to get ready for church Sunday night. Somebody say amen. I remember we went to church that morning. Never been there before, man. It was a great service. The Lord really helped us. Moved. I was pumped up, fired up. We went and ate after church, man. Got some good Italian. I was on cloud nine, if you will. Went back to the hotel where we were staying. I got that nap that I had been looking for all day. And I woke up and I was getting ready to pray and study and get ready to go preach Sunday night. And have you ever had that one family member that calls at the worst time? I mean, you dread to see them, see their name come across their phone. Some of y'all laughing, you know what I'm talking about. They don't call me because they know I ain't going to answer. So you know who they call? Her. She answers for everybody but me. I ain't understood that, Doc. I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out. We've been married almost 5 years, and she still don't pick up the phone. But I remember I was getting ready. I like to prayer walk. I like to go walk and just pray outside. And I remember I was on the way out, and they called. And I said, oh, boy, here we go. Lindsay picked it up, put it on speakerphone, and it started. They began drilling into my wife. And I remember they had begun to open some wounds up that God was trying to close. Some people, they just don't know when to stop. And I remember Lindsay was sitting there and she was trying to be as sweet and kind as she could be. But I could see what it was doing on the inside. struggling with some things. I was struggling with some things. And that whole conversation was centered around that same problem. And in both our lives, the devil used that, cut that wound open, and just poured salt in it. And they hung the phone up, acted like nothing was wrong. And I saw my little wife sitting there with tears in her eyes. I looked out and said, "Lindsay, are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'll be fine. I just need a minute." Sometimes you go through things in life and you just get tired of them. You get overwhelmed with them. You think, "Lord, when's this problem just going to be over?" And I remember, man, the devil got on my back that afternoon. And he began to tell me stuff like this: "Well, you're forsaking everything, running all over the roads preaching. And God's going to continue to let y'all walk through that valley. God's going to continue to let something. If God really loved you, he wouldn't let you. You sacrificed so much for the Lord." And let me just say this. We Americans, we got a bad problem of entitlement. We feel like if we do all this for the Lord, he owes us this and that's all the other. Let me just go ahead and stop right there. But when we got north side of hell, we got way more than what we deserved. We didn't deserve to be saved. And anything after that is more than what we should ever deserve. But we like to throw that up in God's face. And I remember, man, just being angry in that motel room. Y'all pray for me. Sometimes my flesh gets in the way. And I was walking around there, and man, she was hurt. I was upset. I was upset with them. And I said, "God, I don't understand this. My wife is one of the best Christians I know. I don't know how you could let her go through this. God, Lord, I don't. We're out here on the road trying to do this, trying to do that. God, I don't know why we got to keep walking through that valley. I don't know why we had to get that phone call." I mean, I'll be honest. You ever just walk around and talk to yourself angry? I was doing that in that motel room. I was upset. Here's what God told me. He said, "Well, if it's bothering you that bad, why don't you come tell me about it?" I said, "Lord, it didn't have to be like that. God, all that stuff I said a minute ago, God, I was just kidding. I didn't mean none of it." The Lord said, "Yeah, you did. If you didn't, you wouldn't have said it." And I remember for the first time in my life really having to get real with the Lord. And I remember going outside on my little prayer walk. I was walking around, and, man, I was still hurting in my eyes. God said, "Well, are you going to tell me or not?" And for the first time, I began to tell God what was on my heart. I began to tell the Lord what really my burden was. I began to tell God how I didn't understand. And Lord, I don't think this is fair. I don't think that. God, I don't know where you're at. Sometimes you get to a breaking point where you just can't take no more. And I'll be honest, I got done praying and I was standing there and I was waiting for that spiritual hand slap in the back of my head. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, "John, I know exactly where you're at." He said, "John, I ain't mad at you. I know you're but dust, but you got to trust the plan I have for your life." And the reason why a lot of us, we can't get victory, and I'll be honest, when I got past that, it felt like a burden was lifted off of me. It felt like I was light as a feather again, because here's the thing. Let me just say this. If you're upset with God this morning, you need to tell him about it. You say, "Preacher, I can't dare do that." God already knows anyway. You keep coming to the altar and you got bitterness with God at your heart and you won't get it right with him. You won't tell him about it. That's why you're living a miserable life. That's why your problems ain't getting no better. That's why you're suffering this morning, because you hadn't taken the time to pour your soul out before God. I believe it like this. I believe when Miss Hannah went and prayed, she didn't hold nothing back. But she told everything to God that was on her heart. I ain't saying being disrespectful to the Lord this morning, but hear me, here's what I am saying. God, every bit of your problem, and you'll watch how he works. Number one, she asked God in her sorrow. Number two, I want you to notice with me, she adored God in her stillness. Look at verse number 18 with me. This is what the Bible says. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Notice what the Bible says. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped. Time out. She's gone. She's prayed. She's given her heart to the Lord. She's told God every bit of her problems. She's casted it on him. But you want to know something? She wasn't going down to Babies R Us after this and making a registry. She wasn't going home and getting on Amazon and picking a crib out. She wasn't. I didn't realize how expensive diapers were until I started looking at all this stuff. She wasn't going to buy diapers. She wasn't going to buy formulas. She's prayed. She's poured her heart out for God. But there still is no baby. But what did she do next? She went and she worshiped. This is what I've learned preaching. This is where it gets hard. A lot of us, you say, preacher, I don't have a problem telling God what's on my heart. I don't have a problem coming to the altar and really pouring my soul. That's not the issue for me. You know where it gets hard in a lot of our lives? When we got to wait and worship. When we do pray, when we do give it to God, when we do get the burden off of it, but God doesn't seem to be answering yet. You know what the devil likes to do? He likes to say one or two things. Number one, you didn't pray good enough. You really didn't tell God. God really didn't hear you. Or secondly, God don't care about your problem. God's got too much other stuff going on to hear what you got to say. And we get in this place of waiting. We get in this place where we're coming to church. We're being faithful, but we're still in the mess. We're still in the problem. We've given it to God, but nothing seemed to get better. You say, preacher, that's where I'm at this morning. I'm waiting on God to answer that thing. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to love my preacher. I'm trying to give. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to be faithful. But God has not answered my prayer this morning. Let me just help you with something. Go ahead and clear the air. The reason why God may have not answered where you're at this morning, it ain't because you ain't been faithful. It ain't because God's mad at you. It ain't because you got some big sin. Sometimes God just wants us to wait. I'm a Krispy Kreme donut type of guy. I like it hot, I like it ready, and I want it now. But God's not interested when we want things. See, the Lord's not interested in time. But he is interested in timing. And I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you a third one. I'm going to be out of the way this morning. But some of you in here, you've been waiting on something for a long time. You've been begging God for something for a long time. And you feel like it's your fault, God. It ain't got nothing to do with you. God molds us in the darkness. God makes us in the darkness. God tries us, and he grows us in the waiting time. You say, preacher, what do I do? I just don't know how much more I can take. You just keep being faithful this morning. You keep serving the Lord this morning. You keep having a good attitude. You keep praying. You keep being faithful. If we'll do, even when we don't do our part, God will still do his part. You might be waiting this morning. The reason why God's making you wait is because he loves you. It ain't because he's mad. He's wanting to draw you just a little bit closer to himself. Number three, and I'll be out of the way. Lindsay, come help me if that's all right, preacher. Number one, she asked God in her sorrow. She adored God in her stillness. But notice thirdly with me, God acknowledged her supplication. Look at the end of verse number 19. The Bible says, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Look at verse 27 with me. The Bible says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. All those days of praying, all those days of waiting, all those days of her adversary being in her ear. I like what that verse number 19 says. And the Lord remembered her. I'm glad God ain't never forgot one prayer I prayed. I'm glad the Lord hadn't forgot where I'm at and where you're. He knows exactly where you're at, and he will remember you. I can only imagine that day when Samuel was born. You got to understand, I told you when we started, this woman was treated like a third-class citizen. Nobody liked Hannah. Everybody looked down on Hannah. Everybody gave Hannah a hard time. But when they found out Samuel was born, man, I wonder if they wasn't lining up at the door She was barren for so long. She couldn't have a baby for so long. And just all out of nowhere, Samuel was born. I wonder if they said, I want to see the promise of God. I want to see that little boy. I just want to look at him. And every day, she held what she'd been praying for. She held what she had been waiting on. And I wonder if she didn't look down in that little baby's eyes, and the Holy Ghost may have spoke to her and said, Hannah, it was worth the wait, wasn't it? Hannah, it was worth all those dark nights. It was worth what I'm going to do with this life. It was worth all your pain. And Hannah just pulled Samuel a little closer and said, Lord, it was worth it. God, thank you, Lord, for my baby boy. And I wonder, you probably didn't find old Penina too much after this. Because you want to know something? When I read my Bible, I don't read hardly anything about Penina's children. But I do read about a little boy named Samuel that God used in a powerful way. Let me say this. You might be going through something this morning, and it looks like everybody around you is blessed with that one thing. Let me just say this. God may be getting ready to give you a Samuel in your life. Sometimes God doesn't give us the good because he wants us to have the best. And I wonder this morning, are you in a mess? You say, preacher, I can identify with everything that you've talked about this morning. I've asked the Lord. You might be waiting this morning. You might still just need to ask God. But there will come a day when you're holding whatever your Samuel is. I don't know what your Samuel is this morning, but I do know I need a Samuel in my life. I need God to do some things in John Burt's life this morning. Sometimes it takes some getting honest with the Lord. Sometimes it does take some waiting before God will answer. Just like the Bible says, the Lord will remember you. Now let me just go ahead and say this. I'm not one of these type of guys that name it, claim it, God to do whatever. Sometimes his will doesn't line up with what we want. The Bible still says his thoughts aren't our thoughts and his ways aren't our ways. And God may hold back on blessing you with that one thing because he knows what it'll do to you. And I know that's not really comforting preaching. But let me say this, God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. God ain't never made a mistake. If he can make all of this in 6 days and on the seventh day rest, don't you think he can take care of where you're at this morning? He did it for Hannah. He can do it for you. Our problem is we like to read stories like this and say, well, Lord, that's pretty good. But when's the last time you've applied it to your life? He ain't changed, y'all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You just believe him by faith this morning, and you watch what the Lord can do. I wonder as we stand to our feet, I'm done, I'm out of the way. I probably went a little longer than what I should this morning. I don't know how y'all do things here, but this is what's on my heart. I wonder, are you in a mess this morning? Do you need the Lord desperately to do something in your life? Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do when she starts singing. I wonder if you wouldn't come and find your place in the altar and get honest and get real before the Lord and pour your heart out. You say, preacher, I've done that, but I'm waiting on God to perform that miracle in my life. You might just need to say, Lord, would you give me some grace to wait? God, would you help me to stay faithful? See, the devil wants to use that thing to take you out, but the Lord wants to give you a Samuel. Because everybody will say, I knew when they had that problem. I knew when it looked impossible. I knew when it seemed like there was no way. And God's give you that Samuel. And they'll say, if God can do that for them, he can do it for me. It's all about the glory of God this morning. But you will reap if you faint not. I wonder, as Miss Lindsay sings, who needs to come this morning and say, Lord, I'm in a mess and I need you to do a miracle. As she sings, I wonder who would come this morning. Why don't you just bring it all to the Lord? Sing, Lindsay. What's your burden? What's your mess?
When it seems the
bring it to Him today. You get real with God, He'll get real with you. He cares this morning about where you're at.
Oh, I hear a sweet voice whisper.
As she sings, there's some come. Who else would?
I just bring it all to Him when no one understands. When you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing that I can bring it all.
We'll take a quick time out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now I'm just going by, I only know how to be one way, and that's real. Some of y'all, while I was preaching, you was wiping your eyes. I can see it in your eyes this morning. Why don't you come and find you some help? You say, preacher, if I come down there and pray, somebody's going to think I got a problem. I'm going to go ahead and clear the air for us. We all got problems in here this morning. I got problems. You got problems. But here's what I would do. I would not leave this place without finding some victory in my life. I wouldn't leave this place without asking God for what's ever on my heart. I'm going to get Miss Lindsay to sing that second chorus in that verse. I wonder, maybe it might just be one. You're in a mess and you need God to do a work. Don't leave the same way you come. God will if you will. It'll take some faith. It'll take some prayer. But God can work that thing out. I wonder as she sings, would that be you this morning?
In the throne room of my Savior, it's where I found sweet relief.
Just bring it to
Him. To bear my burden.
The Lord wants to take your burden if you give it to Him. Burdens ain't made to be carried. They're meant to be cast.
What a blessed consolation.
You just bring it to Him.
I can bring it all to Him. If you'll just bring it all to Him. God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing that I can bring it all to Him.
I want you to know these altars are open. Just a minute. Sister Lindsay will sing one more verse, chorus. I appreciate the message from God's Word. They say these days that good things come to those that wait, but really the biblical truth is more like God works in the lives of those that wait upon Him. That's more like it. God allows us to suffer and God allows us to wait, if for nothing else, to grow dependent upon Him in a way that we never have before. That in our weakness, His grace would bring glory to Him. And He says in Isaiah in chapter 40 that He gives strength to the faint. But you've got to get faint before He can give you the strength of God. And maybe you're like that this morning. Maybe you've got a physical problem. Maybe you just come and you just be honest, you've got a spiritual problem. Maybe you feel barren. Hannah was barren physically. Maybe you're here and you're barren spiritually. You're cold. You're indifferent. You know you've been saved, or maybe you haven't. The things of God don't mean what they used to mean. Maybe you need to ask God in your bitterness to bring some fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life and plant His grace in your heart and let you feel that love of the Savior again. It is not worth it to leave here today as cold as you came. I'll tell you that. And there's no need. It's pointless. So she's going to sing again. And would you please come as she sings?
Humbly at the throne of God, just fall down on your knees. He will hear your every cry and meet your every need. If you'll just bring it all to Him, when no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim. Oh, how sweet it is in knowing that I can bring it all to Him.
Amen. Isaiah in chapter number 40, wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God don't promise you that you get to stop walking. You may still have to walk, but if you wait upon Him, you'll not grow faint. I appreciate so much the message. I believe that'll be sufficient this morning. I'm glad to see the Lord working through His Word in our church.